From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, May 2nd, 2025. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has agreed to halt efforts to freeze federal funding for child nutrition programs in Maine. In exchange, the state will drop its lawsuit against the agency. Steve Missler has more.
The lawsuit was brought by Maine Attorney General Aaron Fry after the USDA yanked federal funds in retaliation for a state law allowing transgender athletes to participate on girls' sports teams. In an April letter to Governor Janet Mills, USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins warned that the move was, quote, only the beginning, unless the state complied with the president's executive order banning the practice. Fry says the letter was part of a pressure campaign that ignored the law.
They were so quick to send this nasty gram that they didn't even take time to look at the regulations that they're supposed to be complying with, or Title IX, which is what they were saying they were enforcing.
U.S. District Judge John Woodcock granted the state's request for a temporary restraining order last month, finding that Maine was likely to prevail because the USDA did not follow procedure. Fry says it's unfortunate that Maine had to sue to get the USDA to comply with the law, but that he's happy the case is resolved. The funding freeze was one of several moves made by the Trump administration to punish Maine after Governor Janet Mills clashed with the president at the White House on February 21st. The Trump administration is still suing the state over alleged Title IX violations, but that case is still in the early stages. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Maine Senator Susan Collins is not pleased with President Trump's first budget blueprint, which proposes massive cuts to health, education, and other programs. Kevin Miller has more.
The president's budget would continue or build upon many of the cuts already attempted by his Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE. It proposes cutting $163 billion from discretionary spending. As chairwoman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, Collins has one of the most influential positions in Congress on spending decisions. And the Republican says she has, quote, serious objections to some of Trump's proposals after an initial review. Collins pointed to cuts to the heating assistance program known as LIHEAP, to educational programs for disadvantaged students, and to biomedical research. She also objected to a proposed freeze in defense funding. The senator said the Appropriations Committee will have an aggressive hearing schedule to explore the president's plan, but added that, quote, ultimately, it is Congress that holds the power of the purse. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
The University of Maine announced today that the federal government has restored $4.5 million in SEA grant funding, which had been terminated in February. Maddie Smith has more.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration announced in March that it would renegotiate the grant award after Senator Susan Collins intervened on the school's behalf. The agency notified UMaine this week that it would restore the funds. UMaine officials say the money will allow the program to continue for the three remaining years of the original four-year award. They say the program sustains 20 jobs and provides research and resources to the state's coastal and marine economies. In 2023, the university estimates the SEA grant helped generate more than $23 million. There are 34 SEA grant programs across the country, and Maine's was the only one terminated by the Trump administration. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
After more than 40 years, Maine State Police have made an arrest in a cold case murder in Washington County. 18-year-old Linda Maxwell was last seen in the Callis area in August of 1984 after spending an evening with friends. Her body was found along the shore of the St. Croix River in Robinson 2 days later. The case remained unsolved for decades, but state police say on Thursday they arrested 65-year-old Raymond Brown of Bangor for murder. He's being held at the Washington County Jail without bail. Maine is offering to ease the way for shoreline landowners to install erosion control measures. The effort comes in response to a surge in permit applications following damaging storms last year, says Rob Wood of the Maine Department of Environmental Protection.
We're creating a streamlined permitting process for shoreline stabilization activities along the coastline when certain eligibility criteria and standards are met.
The new rules will limit those streamlined permits to projects that use biodegradable materials and native plants and that don't rely on a lot of reinforcing stone. Wood says larger projects will have to go through more rigorous permitting to prove they are necessary. Rules approved by regulators this week are less strict than an initial proposal criticized by engineers and homeowners. In the wake of the Challenger disaster, a nonprofit dedicated to continuing the mission of the 7 astronauts who died on board set out to create learning centers across the United States. There are now more than 40 worldwide, including the Challenger Learning Center of Maine in Bangor, which has been introducing curious young visitors to STEM careers for more than 20 years. The center recently completed a major renovation to bring its NASA mission simulations into the modern era. Caitlin Badion joined 8th graders from Herman Middle School to see them in action.
Just in case you were unaware, we will be going to space today atop a Falcon 9 rocket. I believe it's about 2.5 million
Students
pounds.
Huddle in an aura of blue light inside the center's small transporter room as the sounds of a rocket launch echo around them.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 Liftoff. First stage has used up all of its fuel. It's dropping off. Second stage takes us the rest of the way into orbit. Then when its fuel is gone, it too drops away. My name is Jim Tyson. My title is a great title. I am a flight director. The upgrades are wonderful. We're still working through a couple of bugs with the new stuff, but we'll just keep working on those few last little glitches and we'll be in great shape. And we are docked. We are now going to go into the airlock. Remember, only one door gets opened at a time in the airlock. You can
After launch, Tyson directs the group over to the spacecraft room, where students take up specific stations with duties such as geology, biology, and medicine.
All right, are you getting enough sleep?
Probably not.
They gather that data, which they enter into their computer stations, from weather information to satellite paths and life support readings.
Are you drinking enough water?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Are you constantly eating your meals?
Yeah.
Okay, good job.
A second group is across the building in the mission control simulator, watching a live video of their classmates in the spacecraft and processing the data they collect.
Mission control, this is the spacecraft. I have a message for the ROVE team. Over.
UNA Slate is a student at Herman Middle School, who today is serving as the spacecraft communications officer.
So I am sending and receiving messages to mission control, and then I'm also selecting images from certain teams as they do their jobs around here to put up to give to mission control. The message for the ROVE team from the weather team is, we have completed coding the programming for the ROVE module. Please review and inform us if it needs any alterations. Over. And I've been here before, but never like in a mission, only for their like events that they do. So it's super cool to get to see what's actually going on, like as like through the missions and stuff.
The upgrades were installed as part of a $2.5 million renovation over the winter, which Executive Director Kirsten Hibbard says has brought the center more in line with the technology of public and private space programs of today.
I would say before our remodel, we were kind of Apollo-esque styled consoles and desks. And with our new hardware and software, we're able to run our newer missions. So our headquarters, our Challenger headquarters, really helps keep our missions aligned with NASA's current mission objectives.
While the role-playing is fun, Hibbard says the experience is meant to resonate in a real way with the students.
And really, the goal is for them to try a STEM career for the day. And they do it within the confines of, we are going to space, either a lunar mission, a Mars mission, or even an Earth mission, and really be mission controllers and astronauts for a day.
Mission control, this is a spacecraft. Attention, all crew. We have successfully launched our new satellite into low Earth orbit. Mission success.
The center is fully booked for the rest of the school year and now scheduling groups for next fall. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Badion.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 8 for Weekend Edition on Maine Public Radio. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.